Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for coming to this particular class. Normally I talk about entrepreneurship, and a lot of you guys came yesterday, which is awesome. Today, I want to talk about conversations. So our ability to talk to each other. How are you guys doing with that? Meh? Where are my extroverts? Where are the people that, like, when you talk to people, you get more energy and more power, and you're like, it's like your power up. We got an extroverts. Where are my introverts? For you guys, it's like, I talk to someone and I want to lay down and take a nap. Yeah? My introverts? I am an introvert, believe it or not. So even though I really enjoy standing up here and talking like this, if I was talking like in a group or a small setting, I'm an introvert. I'm like, it tires me out. I'll tell you, when I come to these conferences and I finish up, I'll go back to my room at night and I just crash. I am tired. I've used up all of my words. So just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you can't be a conversationalist, doesn't mean you can't speak well with people. So today, let's start with this. Everybody, don't get comfortable, because today what I want to do is as we go through and we learn a little bit about how to have conversations, we are going to practice it a little bit together. But here's the problem. All of you guys are sitting by people that you like and that you know. So here's what I need. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. You guys just said, you guys had the point. Okay. You've got 30 seconds. You've got to sit somewhere where you're not sitting by someone who you knew before this conference. Ready? Go. I don't care where you sit. You got 30 seconds. Now, if you've made friends since you started the conference, that's okay, but before. All right, are we good? Yeah. All right, the person to your side, so you two and you two and you two and all the way around, that is your conversation partner for this class. Now, anybody feeling uncomfortable yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit? Hey, I would be feeling uncomfortable. It's going to get worse, okay? It's going to get worse before it gets better. So let's do this. You know, it's interesting to me. You guys are the first generation. You've accomplished something in language and conversation that's never been done in the history of the world. Think about where we started. Eons ago, we started out with grunts, right? Grunts was the way we communicated. And what was next? What was after grunts? We had started talking to each other a little bit. And then how did we communicate with each other? We started writing things, right? We started writing. So we started putting pictures up. So you could go grunts to Latin. Yeah, it's almost grunts. So then we started writing. We made pictures, and then we created written language. So we had written language, and then we had books, and we've come all the way forward. And we had all this stuff, and guess where you guys took us?
Back to pictures.
Back to pictures. You guys have done it. We're back to hieroglyphics. What does this mean? Hey, good. Yeah, everything's good, right? What does this mean? Really funny, laughing out loud. You guys got it. So, what about this one? Anybody know what this one means?
Well,
thank you. Well. All right. What about this one?
Trail of Tears.
Nope.
That is the Trail of Tears.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river, you guys. Cry me a river. What about this one?
Please get
a
ride to soccer.
Please what? That's it. Can I please get a ride to soccer? Oh, like, this is amazing. That's just pictures. What about this one?
You played the trumpet
for 2 hours and I'll pay you for 3 hours.
Close. Here's what this one is. Did you take my trumpet?
What?
Return them immediately. My cats are furious. You didn't get that one? Okay.
No, I didn't get it.
No.
All right. So the point is, as conversationalists, emojis are awesome. They're quick. They're easy. They like through a text you can kind of tell somebody how you're feeling and what you. But they're not great conversation tools. They're just And they, is it easy to misinterpret? Has anybody ever gone into this thing where they misinterpreted an emoji text? Anybody had this experience? And it was totally so far off. Like, yeah. So it can be really efficient, really quick, but it's not great. Okay. So let's get serious just for a second, though. So you guys, as a generation, and this isn't just you guys, as a generation, have created this new language, but as far as communication and the way we communicate with each other, can we be really, really honest with each other? It's way worse now than it was 20 and 30 years ago.
Yep.
And our ability to talk to people is probably worse than it was 20 and 30 years ago. So this is just some data. Over here on the left, you guys, this graph represents our loneliness, how lonely we are as a generation. So this is 12th, 10th, and 8th graders. So right here about 2007, 2009, we were kind of coming down on our loneliness. What do you guys know what happened in 2007, 2008, 2009? Introduction. Yeah, I was born. Introduction of the iPhone, 2007. And look at the correlation of the data. And this is this is our loneliness scale. This is how lonely we feel now. Even though we have all these ways of communicating with each other, this is how we feel lonely. And this is the amount of time that we spend together with people we care about. Percentages over here. We used to, back in the 70s, kids and families, you know, they spent 50 some odd percent of their time together with people they cared about. And now we're down to almost less than about 25% of our time that we actually spend face-to-face with people. So it's dropped off drastically, and our loneliness has gone up. So in a very real way, even though it's kind of joking to talk about emojis and things, in a very real way, we are losing our ability to communicate with each other. And it's a real struggle that we have. So what I want to do today, I hope you guys recognize that all of us need to be able to communicate effectively. Has anybody ever been at a dance and you're dancing with someone you don't know and you ask them a question, you're like, what's your favorite something? And they're like, this is especially, boys, you guys are awful at this. You're like dancing. Yeah. And the girls are like, what's your favorite thing to do? They're all excited to hear and you're like,
I don't know.
Yeah. How many boys? Girls, do the boys say this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, boys, no more I don't knows, all right? No more I don't knows. So we have to be better. We have to be better at being able to communicate with each other. So the point of this class is I want to teach you a few things, and I want you to practice. We're going to do a little bit of this communicating with each other. Are we good with that? Okay. If you don't want to do that, you're welcome to go, and I'll be really offended, and I might chase you down. I might cry a little, but you're welcome to go. All right. Okay. So let's start. Let's get our first principle here. Oh, this is just some more data. I won't bore you with that because you guys don't care. Oh, you do care. Okay. So first and foremost, you guys, one of the most important conversation skills I can teach you is listening first. So when you're conversing with people, okay, I'm the worst at this. I'm so bad. So someone will be talking to me, and as they're talking to me, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to say next? Because I'm an introvert, remember? And an introvert, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to say something stupid or silly or anything like that. I'm the guy, and maybe some of you guys are like this, when I would say something silly as a youth, 30 years after I said it, I'm still thinking back, like, why did I say that? Like, well, I was so stupid. Like, I analyze it over and over and over. Like, man, that was dumb. There was this one time where we were out camping and with this big group of kids, and I was like, oh, but I need that thing we cook with. I was talking to a kid, and it was like, and I got mixed up and I got confused, and I mixed two words. I mixed skillet with griddle. And I'm like, can you go grab that Skittle? And they're like, and to this day, that's been like 10 years, and I still, like, I anguish over saying Skittle. I'm like, what a stupid thing to say. So because of that, I oftentimes in my mind, I'm formulating what I want to say to someone because I don't want to say something wrong. But here's the problem. If you are formulating in your mind what you're going to say next, what do you miss?
What they're saying,
right? Now, here's another funny thing that's happened to me before. Maybe this has happened to you guys before. I'll be like listening, and I'll be formulating something in my mind, and I'll be kind of paying attention to the conversation, and then unbeknownst to me, because I'm not even paying attention, they will change direction of the conversation. And so I'll be like formulating this answer. They'll be like talking about this book, and I'm like, oh, I love that book. It's so awesome. And then they're going to start talking about soccer practice, and they're going to be like, well, what do you think about that? And I'll be like, I think it's an amazing book. It's something we should really read more often. And they're like, no, like soccer practice. I'm like, totally lose control. So as we communicate with each other, you have to, and I think Stephen Covey said it best, you have to seek first to understand. Seek first to understand. And how do we do that? How do we effectively listen first? Let me give you a couple suggestions. Number one, topic shifts. Okay? As you are communicating with somebody, if they are communicating with you, have you guys ever had the conversation where you're communicating something and it's important to you? And then as soon as you finish, because the other person has been thinking about something else, they shift the topic? Anybody? And you're like, no, I wanted to talk about that. And now you're clear over here. So what's really important, you guys, is as someone's communicating with you, you have to listen. And when they finish, don't shift the topic. Don't change what you're talking about. Instead, do this. You need to reaffirm to them that you heard what they said. Okay? You have, and this does, so sometimes the really like technical, as we teach people that are older, we're like, you need to say back to them exactly what they said. So you say, I think what you were saying, and I think I understood that you said this. Now that's an awful way to communicate, right? That's super boring. You don't want to talk to your friends that way. But if someone says, man, I really love, well, give me something. What's something we love? What's that? Okay, man, I really, really love Zelda. I love it from way back. It's been a big part of my life. Now, if somebody, you finish saying that, and someone's like, yeah, let's go eat some lunch, that would be a little bit like, oh, man, I just put my heart out there. That was, but if they said, oh, I don't know a lot about Legend of Zelda. Why don't you tell me more? Tell me why you love it, right? You continue that topic. You stay with them. And then when they're finished sharing that with you, if you have something different to share, then that's your time to share that. Not in the middle of talking about something they care about. So we seek first to understand. So let's do a practice here really quickly with your communication partner. So whoever it is, someone you don't know, the first thing I want you to do is, do you have something you can just read? Does everyone have something they can read off of? No? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to communicate at each other, but don't listen. So you're going to be trying to say what you think is important, and they're going to try to say something back at you that they think is important. Do we understand what we're doing?
Yes.
We're doing it wrong the first time. So communicate poorly. So go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, same time. You're talking to each other. 3, 2, 1, stop. Stop. Perfect. Okay, raise your hand if you got something out of that conversation. Couple people? You actually were able to listen a little bit? Okay. Raise your hand if you heard nothing the other person was saying. Okay, perfect. All right, you guys, if you don't seek to understand, it's almost impossible to actually listen and hear that. So here's what I want you to do. One of you two is going to share a topic that you care about, something that you like to do. Okay, the other person's going to listen, and when they're done, I want you to make an affirmation. So you're going to let them know that you understood. That's awesome. What I understood you said was this, and you're going to rephrase it and say it back to them. Does that make sense? Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, go. 3, 2, 1, stop! Stop! Perfect! All right, I'm going to pick somebody. Who was your partner? Who was your partner? Both of them. Who talked? Okay. You share with me what she talked about.
Cartoon rabbits, Wilson and Nolan, and the colors that they were, the brown and white and glass and gray.
Wilson and Nolan the rabbit, I love it. Thank you very much. Right here, who talked? What did he say?
So he was talking about TM2. TF2. That's what it is.
Keep going.
And it's a video game that he likes to play.
Awesome. Right here, who talked? He did. So what did he say?
He talked about books and reading and how Keeper of Velocities is one of his favorite books, but it's not his favorite, Rings of Fire.
Rings of Fire. Love it. Back here, Yeah, you. Who talked in your group? Okay, what'd he say?
He was talking about
University of Tennessee.
UT. Yeah, go Power T. All right. Right here, who talked? Case? So what did they say?
Okay, so she was talking about how she plays piano in church, like the prelude, and how it's kind of hard for her and stuff. And then she talked about dancing, how she loves it, and she's trying to master this one.
Awesome. Okay, you guys, when you listen to people, here's something really important about conversations. If someone listens to you and makes you feel like they're actually caring and they're listening, it changes the relationship. It's not just this like thing on the outside. It's not just this surface level talking. It's actually a connection. Those conversations improve. So you have to listen first. Don't get in so much of a hurry. Conversations don't have to be like, I gotta get it out. Like, I gotta say what I gotta say, right? Like, that's not the point of the conversation. It's to connect and communicate with that other person. Okay, so make sure you're listening. The other thing is, all right, where are my extroverts? Extroverts, raise your hands again.
Yeah.
Okay, extroverts, yeah. This is for you. Extroverts, this is for you. Sometimes my extroverts, you guys can't stop talking. Yeah. Introverts, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, and do introverts, do you sometimes want them to stop talking?
Yes.
Yes, right? Okay, extroverts, you gotta be real careful in this. It's a back and forth. The conversation is, I'm gonna share something with you. You're going to affirm me, and then I'm going to stop and shut my trap, and you're going to say something back to me, and I'm going to affirm you. It's very important that we have this back and forth. And extroverts, sometimes you talk too much. And introverts, sometimes you guys talk too much. So you've got to get over that. You've got to listen sometimes. So we have a question or comment?
What if people don't want to talk? They're sitting there, like, not knowing what to do.
Great question. Great question. So instead of – so. Has this ever happened? You feel like nobody else in the conversation is going to say anything? Yeah, especially my extroverts. And extroverts, what happens when no one's talking?
You start talking.
You're like, oh, it's like an addiction. You're like, I don't know if I can take this much longer. Somebody has to say something. And so I'll say something, right? And everyone else around you is like, oh my gosh, he's talking again. Right? So what do we do? Let's go to our next talk topic here. Questions. Questions, you guys. One of the most powerful tools you have as a conversationalist is questions. Questions open people up. Now, here's the problem. Most of the time we ask really crappy questions. Okay? And when you ask a crappy question, you get a crappy response. Okay? So what are some examples of crappy questions? It's what color is your toothbrush? Okay? It can be funny for a second, but then it's gone, and then the conversation's done, and they're just staring, like you're dancing with somebody. Hey, what color is your toothbrush? It's purple. And then they're done, right? And it's over, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. And then my extroverts are like, I gotta say something. And my introverts are like, please stop dancing with me. And so we got this balance. Here's the key to questions. If you want to use good questions, if you're in a situation like you mentioned where you've talked and people have affirmed you and there's a silence, don't necessarily try to fill that with your own language. Don't necessarily try to fill that with the next thing that you want to say. Have questions. And here's the key, you guys. Good conversationalists prepare for conversations. So this is something I want you guys to take away from this. You have to prepare for your conversations. Now, you can't prepare for every conversation, but if you know you're going to a dance, are you probably going to talk to someone?
No.
Probably. Yeah. I hope yes, because probably someone's going to ask you to dance or you're going to ask them to dance. Even if you're a wallflower, somebody might come over and talk to you along the wall. You know, there's going to be another person like trying to hide from everybody, and you're like, look, and you're going to make eye contact with that person, and you're both on the wall, and you're not going to know what to do. Well, you can have a conversation in that situation, okay? So questions are really important, but here's the key to good questions for conversations. If a question can be answered with a yes-no response, you failed in asking a question. Why is that?
Because then they'll just say yes or no, and you can't go anywhere.
Exactly. Claire, what were you going to say?
I don't think that completely fails, because if you have a good conversation with someone on the other side, then they'll know to continue it, but
yeah.
Straight off the bat.
But in general, you're probably not asking a question that's going to elicit anything other than yes or no. What were you going to say here?
It would be a bad question, because that's all they would have to say.
That's right. And then they're done. And my introverts are like, that's so awesome. I just have to say yes or no. And my extroverts are like, why didn't they say anything else? Right? So it's like there's this back and forth. Yes.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, let's say, hey, you ask if they've ever read this book. If they say no, you can say, can I tell you about it? And they'll probably say yes.
They'll probably say no.
Okay.
And if they say yes, you can talk about what you liked about the book.
So what's the point of the question, though?
To start up a conversation.
So I would differ with, so I don't disagree. You can still have a conversation with yes, no questions. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't have a conversation. The purpose of the question is to do what, though? It's to engage the other person. So if I ask a question and they answer yes or no, and then I just keep saying what I want to say, am I actually conversing and communicating with that person? Right? No. So we want to take, we use questions not to just start a conversation. We use questions to try to bring people out. But I do agree what you're saying is that you can't, so take this way. I'm not saying don't ever ask a yes or no question. What I'm saying is if you're trying to elicit a response from somebody, it's probably better to use a question that elicits a response. So questions that allow them to be open-ended and they can respond in a different way. So instead of saying, do you love basketball, right? That's one. Or do you love sports? That's a very simple question. What's the response going to be?
Yes.
But then if I said instead, why do you love basketball? You can't just say yes. You got to give me a little bit more. And it elicits a better response. So questions, are when they're open-ended, are really, really important. Now, here's a couple of things I want you guys to be careful of. Number one, tell me if this ever happens to you. Have you ever had a person, and you're sitting there, and they're like, they rapid-fire you with questions? Like, what's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing today? And like there's no time for response. They're just like, pop, 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 pop. We don't want to, like, kill somebody with our questions, okay? So we've got to ask a question, ask an open-ended question, and then wait for a response, and then ask another open-ended question. If you hammer them with question, 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 there's no opportunity to say anything. So that's the first risk factor. The second one I want you guys to avoid is that first one. And so this is specifically, well, I can't say that. It's more for the younger guys in here, the younger ones, okay? There are certain questions that you probably just shouldn't ask. Okay. You don't want to ask uncomfortable questions, uncomfortable personal questions. You got to be careful with that. But here's the difficulty in that. You want to ask questions that connect with people that they care about, but you don't want to cross a line to make them feel like, oh, that's an icky question. Does that make sense? So, good question. So, I have a great friend, Greg Denning, and he was telling a story once. Some of you guys know Greg. Have you guys heard his Mohawk story? The good lady with the Mohawk? So, this is one of my favorite stories about communication. Greg loves to ask people questions and talk to them. And so, he tells a story of one day, he'll just walk up to people and just, like, start talking with them. And he loves to ask them, like, really deep, meaningful conversation. Like, what do you want in your life? Like, what are you trying to accomplish in your life? And these are people like standing in the grocery line. And Greg's like, what do you want to do with your life? And they're like, so one day he's standing in a line and there's a young woman in front of him. And she is just decked out to the T in like this gothic, like punk dress. She has this huge mohawk, her head shaved mohawk. She has piercings that connect to chains that connect to other piercings that other chains. Like, and she has and so it'd be very easy to walk up to this person and be like, I don't want to talk to this person, but Greg's not that person. He's like, I want to talk to this lady. And so he gets her attention, introduces himself, and he says something along the lines of, tell me of your life story. Like, what brought you here? Like, how did you get to this point? Now, that's in the grocery line, you guys, and this woman's standing in front of him. And she turns around, and she's just like, what? Like, she just kind of brushed him off just a little bit. And then they walked outside, because she wasn't really open, and he just kept asking her questions. They walk outside the grocery store, and they spend 2 hours connecting as humans. And this woman opened up to him and talked to him about the struggle she had as a youth and some of the abuse that she went through and how she's really been trying to get back on her feet and it's been hard. And they had this beautiful conversation that really affected both of them in a very positive way. Those are the kinds of conversations, you guys, that matter in life. I can think of situations in my life where I've met people like that. And a simple question that is probing into like what I care about can make a huge difference in my life, and it can make a difference in your lives. So don't go for superficial conversations. Try to connect with people. Try to get something from them that is important and critical and something that changes their lives or has changed their life. That's what we're looking for. So questions are powerful, powerful tools. All right? So that being in mind, turn to your conversation partner. Whoever talked last time, I want you to ask a good open-ended question of the other person and try to elicit something from them, something from their life that they wouldn't normally talk about. Not the color of their toothbrush, not the name of their dog. Okay? Something that's going to elicit something important. Ready? Go! Somebody tell me something amazing that you just learned. Right here.
Our dad
is it okay if she shares it? Is it okay if she shares it? Okay, go ahead.
She says she wants to go to Utah State, but she doesn't want to anymore.
So she's changed where she wants to go to school. That's a big decision. That's a big part of her life right now. Thank you. Someone else give me something important. They just like, who was your partner? Is it okay if he tells it?
I love Jesus.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
He said his team sucked and that the referee said he was dying.
And what sport? Okay, soccer. Right here.
These guys. And we talked about Minecraft. And it turns out we're also like to play Java.
So they talked about Minecraft, something important to them. Anybody else back here? Just a second, you guys. Hustle, listen up. Listen up. Right here.
He wants to study music when he like gets to college age, and then he wants to apply for a music mission at Northern.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Yes, right here.
I learned from her that she liked one of the other classes from, I think it was the missionary one. And well, is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was about like how she like is trying to be getting ready for a mission and like really connecting with people.
Wow. Awesome. Now, yeah, that probably wouldn't have been a conversation you guys had unless you asked that great question. What was the question you asked?
I asked, what is something that, like, really hit to you and stuck to you, like, in your life?
Perfect. Great question. And it opened up a great conversation. Yes, right here. First of all, what was the question you asked?
The question I asked was, what do you want to have accomplished when you die?
Okay. And that's a big question.
It's a pretty heavy question.
It's a heavy question. I love it.
And one of the many things was I learned that they want to go into the entertainment industry.
That's awesome. What a great question. What a great response. Did you have one? Who was your partner? Is it okay if he shares? Okay.
So we started back in like, I shared first that I like climbing. So he did rock climbing. And I started again. I asked him like, how do you do rock climbing? Who do you win? And he said, that's more of an action individual sport. And I had known that before. I thought I was like.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, you guys. So questions, right? So questions will open up conversations. Now, here's the key. And boys, I'm looking at you. If someone says, well, you know, what do you want to accomplish before you die? That's a heavy question. And if you just go, I don't know. It kind of ruins the whole thing, right? It kind of takes it all away.
Tell that to the girls too, because the guys might ask those questions.
All right, guys, do you ask those questions? Girls, do you sometimes, I don't know. I like the shoulder thing too. You're like, I don't know, right? Okay, so let's not do I don't know anymore. Here we go. All right, so there was this guy. I worked in a big company, and he was an executive, and we worked on an executive board together. And it was incredible. It seems like every time we got together to do something, he would tell the most incredible stories. And everybody would gather around him. And every time we went to an event, he would know some information about some new thing. And it was like the most obscure, amazing thing ever. He'd be like, did you know that just up the hill up here, there's an old railroad? And he would give us the history of the railroad, and he'd tell us stories. And we're just like fascinated by like his story. You guys, storytelling is amazing. It's an amazing way to communicate and to form relationships with people. And so I always wondered, like, how did he, like, what made him such an amazing storyteller? Here was the secret to his storytelling, and I want to tell you this secret so you guys can use it as well. He told me, you know what? Every time I know these events are coming up, anytime I know that I'm going to have like a dinner with somebody or there's an event that's coming up, he says, I sit down for a couple of hours and I study a topic really, really, really well. And it's never the same topic. And I just study that topic and I find some stories and I found some information about it, usually close to where we're going to be for the event. And I come prepared to share that new information. Now, I always thought he just knew it. I thought he knew all these things forever. But he prepared in such a way that when we showed up, he's like, let me tell you a story. And we would all be like, oh, sitting at the foot of the master. You guys, you're going to have events. So do we have something tonight where we're going to have communication, an opportunity to communicate with each other? Is there anything? Yeah? Yeah? So, now think about this. You have a little bit of time between now and then. You want to be interesting. You want to meet new people. You want to talk about things. You want people to care about what you're saying. Is there something, is there a story or something that you guys could think about or learn about right now and bring it with you so that when you show up, you're not just like this, I don't know person, right? You're actually someone that has something interesting to say. You can prepare for these things. One of the keys of communication is preparation. It just is. And especially for those of us who may struggle just a little bit in the moment. So sometimes in the moment, it's very difficult. You might have great stories to tell. You might have great things to say. But in the moment when somebody says, well, tell me something, you're just like, oh, I don't know. Like you really don't know. But if you prepare for those things and you prepare your stories, it can be a powerful, powerful way of getting ready for those things. So a couple of things when it comes to storytelling, a couple of things to watch out for. Number one, so I have this six-year-old son, and he's awesome, and he loves to tell me stories, and he loves to talk to me. And there's a lot of days I will come downstairs, and he'll be in the middle of some grand adventure in his mind, right? And he'll just be like, Dad, the bad guys came over the hill, and they crashed into my truck, and then they threw me over the side, and he'll just go off in this gigantic story. And I am so lost. Because he's been playing this story in his mind for like 3 hours, and he knows all the names of the characters. He's like, and Josh was over there laughing. It was so funny. And I just like, slow down, Strat. You got to explain to me what's happening here. So sometimes we jump into things and we provide zero context. You guys have to get good at providing some context. If you're going to tell a story or you're going to share something with someone, it can't just be like this, just jump into it. You got to provide some context. So find the context first. Number two, topic shifts. Again, remember, we talked about this already, but if someone shares an amazing story with you and you're like, well, I want to share a story too, and so I'm going to go over here and talk about this other thing. Don't shift too fast, right? Remember, make sure you're still affirming what they said before you shift the topic. And number three is really important. I see this all the time, and you guys might get into this a little bit too. Someone says, yeah, you know, I played soccer this year and we won our first game and it was so awesome. And the next person's like, yeah, we played soccer too, but we won 2 games. And the next guy's like, well, we played soccer too, but we won 5 games. And the next guy's like, it's like this one-up competition and you're just trying, well, we won the championship. Well, we're the kings of the world and we own the whole world and my dad could beat up your dad. And like, it just goes way too far, right? So we just don't try to one-up with your stories. If someone tells a great story, let it be. And if you have a better story, it's okay. You go tell it the next time. You don't have to one-up someone and be better or have a better story or be funny or anything like that. Just let it be. It's okay. And don't try to impress anyone with that, okay? I was going to say, should we practice storytelling? We might come back to storytelling. Let's move on because we've only got... You know a story? I know a story. All right. One of my favorite parts, you guys. Humor. Humor. So I don't want you to raise your hand if you think you're funny, but is there anyone in this room that's like you guys think is a pretty funny person? Like you've kind of gotten to know, oh, there's a couple of fingers going back here. Okay, everyone's pointing over here. Okay, and like me, I'm funny. Okay, awesome. All right. Here's something. Humor is an amazing way of communicating. I personally, if someone's funny, I just feel like closer to them. Like, if they tell a good joke and I laugh at their joke, I feel closer to them, and they probably feel closer to me because I'm laughing at their jokes. When I tell good jokes, and my jokes are amazing, you guys, totally amazing. And if I tell a good joke and nobody laughs but my wife, Elizabeth, who's standing back there, if she laughs, my day is made. I'm like, oh my goodness, she's is this true? Like, it makes me so happy when somebody laughs at my jokes, and they are amazing jokes, but nobody seems to get them for some reason. So humor is it's a great way of connecting with people. It's a great way of communicating. Do we have a comment or a joke? What's that? I don't have any jokes. but I do have. I do have Scott Sterling. So I don't know if the volume is going to come through the way I want.
Welcome back to our coverage of the NCAA Men's Volleyball Championship between Yale and North Carolina. If you're just joining us, it's been a roller coaster of an evening. Both teams now tied at 2 sets apiece. The winner of this final set will be the national champions. North Carolina leading by one. Yale and their team captain, Scott Sterling.
Love that man.
Don't we all? Trying desperately to hold them here, or it's all over.
Match point for the Tar Heels. Jones preparing for what may be the last serve of his college career.
And here we go.
Excellent serve.
Johnson setting up. Here comes the spike.
Yale has to stop this return or else.
Oh, Scott Sterling's face. And Yale ties it out.
Unbelievable.
Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen.
Oops, I didn't mean to go forward. Sorry, guys.
No.
No, we'll go back. We'll go back. I promise. No. We're just gonna skip forward a little bit so we can see Scott Sterling get hit again.
Just speak with the bar instead.
I'm trying to, but it's not letting me. Maybe I can't fast forward. I'm trying.
Welcome back to our coverage of the NCAA Men's Volleyball Championship.
All right, just watch it. How much time do we have?
It's been a roller coaster.
About 10 minutes? Okay, we might go just a couple minutes over.
North Carolina leading by one. Yale and their team captain, Scott Sterling.
Love that man.
Don't we all? Trying desperately to hold them here, or it's all over.
Match point for the Tar Heels. Jones preparing for what may be the last serve of his college career.
And here we go.
Excellent serve.
Johnson setting up. Here comes the spike.
Yale has to stop his return. Oh,
he wanders away. Because I got Scott Sterling. Oh, it makes me laugh every time. All right, you guys.
You
gotta feel bad for the guy. Okay, here's something I want to teach you guys about humor, and maybe you don't know this, and maybe even you guys that are pretty funny might not know this. Why are things funny? There's a word that we call incongruity. Incongruity means something happens that we just aren't expecting. So as you watch Scott Sterling play volleyball, it's very unexpected the first time he gets hit in the face. It's like this. And so it's funny because something happens that we didn't expect to happen. Or somebody says something that's completely different than what we expected them to say. And as you go through and you continue through the Scott Sterling thing, you know, the funniest part to me is when he's laying flat on the ground and they're still just pounding him with the ball, like over and over and over. Now, that's incongruity because you wouldn't expect that to happen in real life. But that's why it's so funny. Exactly. It's so funny because it's an incongruity. So just a hint and a secret to how to be humorous. Because I'll be honest, I didn't always know what makes something funny. And there's this sounds crazy. There is a ton of research that's been done to try to figure out what makes something funny. And there's really no research that says this is exactly it. But one of the things we look at is incongruity. So to be funny, we sometimes have to be incongruent. Does anybody know what this is, by the way?
No.
No.
Looks like a washing machine.
So this is from I can't think of the name. This is from a movie, and the answer is 42 to that question.
What's the meaning of life?
So the answer is 42. So it's incongruity. So here's what I want you guys to do. So in good humor, there's a setup. And the setup means that there's something that we can all relate to. There's something that other individuals can connect with you about. Because it's funny because we're like, oh, yeah, I could see myself in that situation. So here's a setup. From a parent's perspective, my tween daughter is the only one among her friend group without a phone. So that's something that parents, like especially homeschool parents, we can all kind of like, oh, yeah, I totally. And now most of us would respond like, yeah, I know that. But so the punchline being the incongruity is, yeah, I know this because she tells me every 30 minutes or so. So that's probably not as funny to you because the setup doesn't work for you guys quite as well. So let's do one that would make more sense for you guys. I asked my mom why I was the only one at school without a phone. Okay, so that's something you guys can maybe relate to. It's relatable. So here's with your partner, come up with a punchline. So something that's incongruous, something that you wouldn't expect. So ready, set, go. Figure out a punchline. All right. I asked my mom. I was the only one at school without a phone. And?
She said she'd call me if she figured it out.
Call me if she figured it out. Incongruity. I love it.
You're the only one at school.
You're a homeschooler. That's a homeschool joke. You guys get it? All right. Right here. Now that's good humor, right? You don't expect that. You're like, no one would ever say that I'm the worst child and nobody loves me, but that's the joke. I love it. Perfect. That's great incongruity. What else? What do we got? What do we got? I saw a hand over here.
And then she punched me in the face.
And then she punched me in the face. I love it. Totally incongruous. You don't expect it coming. Anyone else? So I asked her again. What else? Any other ones? Any other good ones? Right here. Okay. Exactly. You're a special child. I love it. I love it. So, yeah, you got one?
What do you call a boy when he's surrounded by...
We got a new joke coming. We're surrounded by zombies. What is it?
Stew.
Stew. Okay. I love it. All right. So it's incongruous, right? So here's the thing, you guys. You know now a little bit about the basis of humor, and you want to be a funny person. So what are some things, what are some setups that are probably going to happen as you're dancing or talking to someone? Right? So you're with your peers. People are going to ask you things like, what is your favorite sport? Why do you love sports? Why do you love basketball? Well, that's a great setup. If someone says, if you're like, what's your favorite sport? And you say, I love basketball. And they say, why do you love basketball? Well, you right now could take a little bit of time to come up with a great incongruous response that's a little bit humorous. Why do you love basketball? Because what?
Because it's not soccer.
Because it's not soccer. See, I love that because it's a soccer joke. And also because... it's funny. Yes?
I like basketball because I enjoy seeing people trip.
I love seeing people trip. I love it.
I love getting hit in the head.
So you guys get it, right? So think of some things that might come up in conversations and just it's okay to prepare. It's okay to come ahead of time with some things to say. In the moment, now some of you guys are incredibly funny and in the moment somebody says something, you come up with something witty and I hate you. Because I can't do that. Okay, incongruity, right? So, but it's okay. So I'm the type of person that I have to prepare a little bit. I have to pre-prepare some of those things I say in order to have some humor. And it's okay. It's still funny. It's still humorous. You don't have to be a naturally funny person to sometimes say funny things. And it helps in those conversations. Okay? All right. Really quickly, some cautions with this. It's never funny. The funniest things are to make fun of yourself. So if there's something about yourself that you can joke about and an incongruity, that's great humor. You know what's really bad humor?
Thinking about other people.
Making someone else feel like less. Making someone else feel like they're less than something or making them feel badly. That's really bad humor. Now, you might get laughs, you guys, but I warn you, if you get laughs, you will destroy relationships. Okay, so just don't use that kind of humor. The best humor, make fun of yourself, make fun of situations, make fun of things around you, but don't like narrow somebody out and make fun of them and everyone laughs at their expense because you don't know what they're feeling, what they're going through. Okay, so let's be careful with our humor. All right, last thing, some nonverbal cues. You guys, you guys are the kings of nonverbal cues, but you gotta be careful in conversations. All right, how many of you guys have an epic, stellar, unbelievable eye roll for your parents? Raise your hands. Any powerful eye rollers? Can I see your eye roll? Oh, that is a good eye roll. Do you have a good eye roll? Oh, and he throws the head. Yes, right here. I love the eye roll. Who's? Are we pointing at somebody? Give me the eye roll. They all said. Oh, she gave it to me. Okay. So guys, awesome. Eye rolls are funny for. Save your eye rolls for your parents. Okay. If you're trying to converse with somebody, don't use your eye roll on people that you care about, like that you're trying to communicate with. Okay? That came out wrong because now you think you don't care about your parents. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. But save your eye rolls, okay? And these nonverbal cues.
For bad jokes.
That's right, for the jokes that Nephi tells. So don't no eye rolls. Don't look away. If someone's trying to talk to you and they ask you a question, isn't it the worst if you're trying to communicate with somebody and all they can do is look at something else or something else? Like you're trying, if I'm trying to converse with you and I'm constantly like, how are you doing today? And like, what's going on? And like, it's awful. It's the worst feeling. No eye contact. So if you never look somebody in the eyes, it's the same as looking away, right?
I actually have a disorder called attention deficit.
Yep.
Hyperactive disorder. And it's actually hard for me to just keep constant eye contact. So my eyes just drift away.
Okay. And the opposite thing is, constant eye contact, it might be even worse than no eye contact. Have you ever had somebody just stare into your soul for like 10 minutes and it's like, please stop looking at me? Okay, so we don't want that either. Yes.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are kind of ADHD or on the autism spectrum that it's just really hard for them to make eye contact at all. So it isn't always like just straight up disrespectful.
Absolutely, 100% disagree. But when you're not, when you don't have those struggles, right, then we can do better to maintain eye contact, use it the appropriate way, and don't do it too much. Do you guys see the big stop sign? Everyone say boo. Conversation, we're losing our ability to converse. This generation, I can't tell you how many young people I talk to, they go on dates and they can't converse with the other person, the other person can't converse with them. People that are trying to get married, so a lot of our young adults, they come back and they're like, Nephi, I'm trying, but they don't know how to talk. We don't know how to talk to each other. We're losing this. We've got to get a little bit more away from our devices and the chats and the emojis, and we need to have these heart-to-hearts. I hope you guys will take some of this. Prepare for your conversations. It's okay. No one's going to know except me, and I'll tease you for it. But otherwise, no one's going to know. So prepare for your conversations and try to connect with people at a different level. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I would just say another thing not to do is to, like, interrupt.
Yeah. Unless you're telling the interrupting cow joke, don't interrupt very much, okay? Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.